Mayor.
I'd like to convene the Finance Committee, and as has been through the past few days, we will stop when we have the quorum present and officially convene for any action. But in the interest of time, I don't know about the Republican caucus, but the Democratic caucus meets at 9:30, so you're doing the same.
Yes.
So we'll get started. Press and Mark Hort, if you would go over the bill and the need for the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And you have a large committee. You say you don't even have a quorum yet on the division I chair. This would be like two times the number I have on my committee, and you still don't even have a quorum yet. It must be a large committee.
Our membership
is important. I did see that. I looked at that. That's big. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for hearing House File 2433, a bill that will provide much needed, much deserved, and much appreciated short and long-term relief to the residents of Browns Valley who were devastated by a flood on the late evening, early morning of March 13th and 14th of this year. And Mr. Chair, I especially want to thank you because I introduced this bill back on April 17th, and you had approached me on when you wanted this heard, and I had told you that I wanted to wait. Our first intention was to get this approved in the bonding bill. It didn't work out that way, and so we're here at step number two, and I do appreciate you kind of holding off and allowing this backup plan to occur so quickly, so I do appreciate that very much. Right now, just the status on the bill, this bill did pass out of the Senate Finance Committee yesterday. Senator Langseth is carrying that bill, and then it's straight to the Senate floor. On March 13th and 14th, excessive runoff because of a quick melt and ice jams along the Little Minnesota River caused water to flood into the northern part of Browns Valley. And basically, it affected about 50% of the town, almost 150 properties in a town of 643. Were impacted and sustained some damage. Now, I talked to the mayor yesterday, and he would not be able to make it today, but he wanted me to say one thing, which he had mentioned to me many times over. And he said, disasters are about people. And we have at least 50% of the community directly impacted. And, of course, many more that are hit by this flood. So according to the mayor right now, there were 26 homes that had water up on the first floor that are substantially damaged, which basically totally damaged. 36 homes had water in basements and up near the first floor. And another 85 properties had damage to garages and sheds and other property on their area. With Browns Valley, according to the statistics, there's about 26 property owners who had flood insurance. And probably only they estimate about a half of that, which would be about 13, had flood insurance in the area that was impacted, out of those 140-some homes. So a very small percent did have health insurance. Now, I've walked door-to-door through Browns Valley several times since 2002. And this is an excellent community. It's a proud community. But it's one that's going to need help in this recovery because it has a high percent of senior citizens. In fact, Traverse County of the 2000 census had the highest percent of senior citizens at that time, 26%. And Browns Valley, by the way, is located in Traverse County. And for those of you who don't know where that is, if you look at the west side of Minnesota, there's that part that kind of juts out. That's right there. That's right where Browns Valley is. And also, it's a community that has limited resources. And so, to give you an idea of the, before I get into the bill, I kind of want to just to indicate the need for aid of this type to Browns Valley. Population is 643 residents. The tax capacity It is a little over 82,000. Now that's the total tax capacity, which means basically for every 1% of property tax that you raise, it raises about $820. That's it. And if you take the per capita, it is about $127 of tax capacity per capita. $127. The state average is $963. The city tax rate, and the state average for a city tax rate is 37%. The city of Browns Valley, as of 2006, it was 207.14. So they have to raise a huge amount of a tax rate to get any sort of dollars. And the total tax rate for the city is 274%. The average throughout the state is 105%. This was also a city that was hit very significantly with local government aid cuts. The certified 2003 amount was $350,000. And they're scheduled under current law in 2008 to receive $258,000. And that is going down each year. It's only because of the caps on going down that that's not lower. Now, we do have in the tax bill $100,000.
Just stop you. Yes. Temporarily, we have a quorum present, so would like to officially convene the meeting. And I think Representative Mahoney was one of the early arrivals. Have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
Chair, I've looked at the minutes and I timed them in accordance with what we did yesterday.
Okay, so Representative Mahoney moves approval of the minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I will move House File 2433 to be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. So if you can continue.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. In the tax bill, there's $100,000 of permanent increase for local government aid for Browns Valley. The total levy and aid of the city, in 2003 it was $499,000. In 2007, last year, it was $456,000. So what they have done is that the revenues have declined, and they've had to pull dollars out of their reserves in the last 4 or 5 years. So this is also a city that has very few reserves to draw on. So I thought I needed to give you those statistics to know that this is a city with limited means, a high percent of senior citizens, and if there was ever a community that needed help and relief from the state, Browns Valley is that city. So the goal is to rebuild the community of Browns Valley and make it stronger than ever. And we do this in the legislation by meeting immediate needs of the community, dealing with buyout, replacement, and reconstruction of housing, repair and replace infrastructure, streets, sewer, and water, and also to reduce potential flooding in the future through mitigation efforts. So 2433 has really about four main parts. The first part, Section 1, deals with a $2 million appropriation that would be administered by the Commissioner of Public Safety that would use to mitigate damage to public and private property. So one thing to remember in this is that because there was not a $5 million damage threshold, FEMA did not get involved here. So many of the things that this bill would do would cover what FEMA would normally do in many situations. This also authorizes the Housing Finance Agency to get involved with rehabilitation of housing. And then the third main part deals with flood hazard mitigation grants. It would put Browns Valley on the list for potential mitigation grants, and this would come from 05 and 06. And in talking with Senator Langseth, who has dealt with it, in fact, much of what's here is almost word for word what was in the bond. But this, it sounds like there's about $5.5 million still from 05 and 06. And Senator Langseth has talked to Mr. Lacusmo from the DNR, and sounds like, you know, there's some money there, and that would allow them to become part of that. And also there's a provision in here that states, and this is general in all where the state gets involved for flood mitigation and so forth, but where the city share of the matching funds for any of this emergency relief would be, is that at any amount that exceeds 2% of the median household income times the number of households, anything over that value is covered by the state, and the city doesn't have to pick that up. That also would be in that bill. So the big part of the bill is the $2 million. The governor has stated that he wants a standalone $2 million bill for Browns Valley. That's what this is. This is basically almost word for word what was in the bonding bill. So members, I appreciate you listening. I would appreciate your support for House File 24.
Okay, and Representative Marquardt, there is an amendment. I think it's been distributed by Representative Kevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Marquardt. The parallels to what happened in Browns Valley and what happened in Rogers on September 16th of last year are eerie to me. I passed out a couple of handouts. I don't know.
Did you want to move the amendment?
Oh, yes, I do want to move the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Representative Pepin moves Amendment H2433A2. Okay, the amendment is before us. Representative Pepin.
Thank you. There's a couple of handouts being passed out. I want everyone to look here. This is what my city looked like on September 16th of 2006. There were more than 500 homes damaged. 500. These were my friends, my neighbors. In fact, a house two down from me lost their top because of the tornado in Rogers. There were almost 50 homes that were uninhabitable completely. People had to move out. They couldn't even go in there to get their belongings. Several hundred houses had very severe damage. And, you know, I sympathize with what's going on in Browns Valley. Representative Marquardt, you said this bill is needed. It's much needed, it's much appreciated, and much deserved. Well, members, I agree with that, it is, but it's also needed and deserved and would be appreciated in Rogers. There are a lot of people who had to put, who were insured in Rogers, I will give you that, but these people are, they're not seniors, but they're young people with young kids. They're trying to pay for school, they're trying to pay for their housing, their mortgages. They don't have Social Security, they don't have pensions, and they have a big deductible. So even those who were insured still have to pay $1,000 or $2,000 home deductible. They still have their needs. There's still families in my community. I can tell you that about 2 weeks ago, the president of our local chamber still had a family living with her because they weren't back in their home yet. So I guess all I can say is the only difference between the two disasters is that one happened on March 14th during the legislative session, and it's fresh in our minds. The other happened on September 16th of last year and isn't fresh on our minds. Another parallel, though, is that FEMA also wasn't able to help us with our damages in Rogers because it didn't meet the threshold. You know, Representative Marquardt, you talked about local government aid. Well, Rogers doesn't have any local government aid, as you know. You know, I don't know what to say, members. I've got a file this big, and I'd love to share it all with you. I've got hundreds of articles, and you probably don't remember this anymore because this was, you know, 6-8 months ago. But our community is still devastated by this. The governor sent out, was quoted in the paper on that second page, "The community is already pulling together to help victims, and the state and county will do whatever is needed," Plenty said. Well, when I asked for help with this, all I heard was that we don't give out money to private individuals. That is not what we've done in the past. And so I was okay with that. But if we're going to hand out money, folks, to people in need, then it should be fair to people throughout the state. Everybody should have the same opportunity to apply for grants, whether they live in the Iron Range, or if they live in Browns Valley, or if they live in Rogers, or if they live in Minneapolis, or wherever they live, they should have the same opportunity. The letter that the governor sent out a couple months ago asking for money for Browns Valley pointed out that 140 homes were affected, 50 of which have significant damage. Well, the numbers are much higher for Rogers, granted it's a bigger city and more concentrated, but more homes were damaged. The governor also said he wants to make sure that any assistance is consistent with past and future aid provisions in similar circumstances. Well, this isn't consistent, members. I just want you to keep in mind that, you know, we all have a situation where a disaster could come at any time. It could happen in Minneapolis. It could happen in St. Louis Park. It could happen in Marshall. It could happen in Thief River Falls. And so the question you have to ask yourself is, Are we going to start looking at disasters and saying, well, if it's in this part of the state, we'll give assistance and cash grants, but if it's in this part of the state, we're going to freeze those people out? You know, we don't know the income levels of all these people. Sure, some of them maybe, you know, may not need the assistance, but there are some people I can tell you that do need the assistance and that should be able to at least apply for grants. So that's what my amendment does, members. It doesn't touch the money that the $2 million that Representative Mark Ward's asking for. I agree that that money is desperately needed. I know how devastating a disaster can be. All I'm asking for is $1 million in grants for victims of the Rogers tornado to be used. If the language is parallel to the Browns Valley language, I would ask for your support. And I just want to point out that I did have, after I was told that I couldn't get cash grants for people, I did have an amendment that or a bill that would have allowed the city to build a noise abatement wall because the tornado hit an 8-mile stretch. We have areas next to the freeway that are bare, and so we've got homes that don't have any protection from the sound. I had two bills for that. I did not get a hearing on it. I tried passing this on the floor, and frankly, you know, I just think it's unfortunate that we'd be pitting one state or one part of the state against the other. We shouldn't be creating winners and losers because it's not going to be funny when it happens in your community and you find out that the governor, whoever decides that your people aren't worthy of getting grants, but someone else and then another part are. So, members, I encourage you to support both my amendment and the bill and show the governor that we need to have fairness throughout the state, whether you live in St. Paul or whether you live in Browns Valley or Rogers. So I'd ask for your vote.
Okay, Representative Markford.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Representative Pep, and I do sympathize with your situation. And disasters are never forgotten. You know, when I am in Breckenridge and they had a flood 10 years ago in 1997, residents there very much remember the flooding. So disasters are never forgotten. I don't want this bill to pit one disaster against another because, as the mayor of Browns Valley, Jeff Backer, said, disasters are about people, and that cuts across all lines. But the reason I would oppose adding this on here is that the governor has said, and the understanding has been, that we want a standalone bill of $2 million for Browns Valley. And we also want to move this bill quickly. It has already passed the Senate Finance Committee, and I don't know when it's going to be heard on the Senate floor. I think soon. This certainly would make it not a standalone. It would delay this, and we need to move this forward today. So I'm very sympathetic. I would ask members to oppose the amendment.
Okay, we have several people. I'll just take the names in the order that they came up. I have at this point Representative Hausman, Representative Rukavina, Representative Junkie, Representative Swigum. So Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Just to put this in the larger context that Representative Pepin is raising today, there was actually a bill introduced by Representative Morrow. I think it might be in Representative Tamar's committee right now. As you know, his community went through a similar situation with a tornado, and his would have taken the big picture in establishing a disaster relief fund that was more broad than some of the language we have. I did raise this issue in conference committee, and at the time, Senator Langseth said, well, there is one difference, and that is you can insure private property for tornadoes but not for floods. And I think what some people are raising, though, is that some of this has to do with public infrastructure. Representative Olin had also brought to us two issues. One was in the bonding bill, and that is we added both Browns Valley and Roto to, I believe, the 2006 grant applicants because he in his area has some public infrastructure that has not been repaired. Believe it or not, Representative Olin raised not only flood damage but tornado damage in his district, so he must have been hard hit, and both had to do with public infrastructure. So I do think, members, we do have a bigger issue that that we should address at some point that has to do with not always responding disaster by disaster, but maybe a more thoughtful big picture. That so that is not meant in opposition to your bill, which I support today, but just to set it in the larger context that it does not still, I think, address not only Rogers, but three or four other places around the state that right now are raising the same issues with us, one of which was included in the bonding bill.
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm going to support the Pepin amendment because this is just the right thing to do. Representative Pepin, though, I do want to tell you, you know, I come from an area where we still think government does good things for people, too. We don't whine and bitch about our property tax, or we do about our property tax, but not about our income taxes and the taxes we pay and everything else. You know, it costs money to run government. It's plain and simple. And there should be rainy day funds. I remember when Representative Swigum, when I first came here in 1987, when we started the rainy day fund, how terrible it was that Rudy Perpich wanted to keep your money. Now that rainy day fund is an accepted practice here at the Capitol. But we always need money for emergencies like this. And you're right. Your people deserve to be helped as much as Representative Marquardt's people deserve to be helped, but government can still do good things. They're not always doing bad things for people, and it costs money to run government.
Representative Junkie.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess I'm going to pick up a little bit on Representative Hausman's comments. Again, I don't necessarily oppose or have any opinion on either of these provisions, other than I think we need some sort of a mechanism. You know, if these bills said up to $2 million or up to $1 million may be appropriated from the commissioner based on, you know, applications and certain criteria. I mean, Representative Marquardt listed off a whole litany of what's going on in his community, you know, the tax capacity, lack of insurance, infrastructure damage, et cetera, et cetera. And again, you know, just to, and perhaps you did have a bill, obviously, that was heard in the bonding committee, and maybe those things were sorted through and the needs were line item kind of expressed. But I agree with Representative Hausman that in the future we should have some mechanism of people judging, someone judging how the money, rather than just throwing $1 million here and $5 million here and $4 million here, there should be an adequate way to assess the actual need out there. Again, lack of insurance, infrastructure damage, tax capacity, et cetera, for local governments to pay for this. And this is just for the levels that are below the FEMA qualification. So, I mean, it's a rather small pool that we'd be talking about into the future. But I certainly agree with Representative Hausman, and I'm just not sure what to do with these amendments like this. And we could see more on the floor again, Representative Morrow and others who have bills sitting out there. So I'm just making those comments as this committee thinks through this.
Representative Figgum.
First of all, Representative Marquardt, I would ask fairness to reconsider your opposition. It seems to be fair. It seems to be a problem in one area of the state, as is in another area of the state. The first question I have, Representative Marquardt, is in the bonding bill that was vetoed by the governor, which we all have our different feelings as to whether it should be vetoed or not. I happen to support the veto. Did you have cash in there for the Browns Valley situation, or was it bonding?
Mr. Chair, Representative Swigum. The $2 million, maybe Representative Hausman can answer that. Was that cash or bonding, that first $2 million? I guess I don't know for sure.
It was in alternating in various ways, so we don't have any definitive answer.
Okay.
I don't understand that. Mr. Chairman, I don't understand. Either it was GO or GF.
Mr. Chair and Representative Figgum, in the final bill, we added Roseau and Browns Valley to the list already established. So that was how we resolved the final issue. They were just simply added to a list of cities that qualified.
qualified for $4, which were bonding dollars or
that,
general fund dollars?
That is an ongoing, that's an, Mr. Chair and Representative Sagan, that's the ongoing flood hazard mitigation grants that we provide.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I need to look into that a little bit further, but Mr. Chairman, members, having gone through the last 10 years the difficulties faced in Rodeo and East Grand Forks and Barnesville and a number of communities in your own district, Representative Mark Bart, I think this is an appropriate thing to do. I think it's an appropriate response, but I would caution members, Representative Peffin said this. I'm not sure that Representative Marquardt did. I didn't hear it, but words make a lot of difference, folks. And in 10 years of visiting Roseau and East Grand Forks and Moorhead, I heard the words needed, and I heard the words appreciated. But I also tell you, Representative Peffin, in 10 years, I never heard the word deserved. Words make a big difference. Needed and appreciated, absolutely. Deserve is something that can come from earning and something. So just watch your words because I didn't hear Representative. I heard you say it, but in either case, I would just caution you that words make a big difference.
So, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Swagum. I did use the word much deserved because you have a large percent of senior citizens who have paid their dues for many years and built our community and built our state. And I think when they're really in a time of need, they deserve some help. And I think the state has never had a problem doing that. So I did use those words with reason and carefully thought out. And I
disagree to those words.
Okay. Sounds like I'm going to go through the chair, please.
Needed, I will go through the chair, Mr. Chairman. But it was, Mr. Chairman, it was funny. In 10 years of visiting Roseau 15 times, Mr. Marquardt, I never heard the word deserved. I've heard appreciated, and I heard needed, and necessary, and build back our community, but I never heard that word. And that word just struck me when I heard Representative. No big deal.
Mr. Chair and Representative Swagum, I used all three words in my opening comments. And I do appreciate the comments from the group here. And I'm not opposed to Representative Pepin's project in need. However, the governor has said he wants a standalone $2 million bill for Browns Valley. There's been a lot of talk in moving this forward as we need to as quickly as possible. And I would hope that by adding on this amendment would slow this process up and slow relief to Browns Valley. And so, members, the Pepin Amendment certainly could be dealt with on another day, but I just ask that you not attach it to this bill to slow up this process.
Can we have Representative Westrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, Representative Pepin, if you'd answer a question. And I think Representative Hausman brought up her distinction was that you can't buy insurance. Insurance doesn't cover for floods, and it does for tornadoes. What is your thought of that? I mean, the tornado coverage is a little more prevalent than flood coverage, but Representative Marquardt started out talking about some did have flood coverage and several didn't. I'm wondering if that's some difference here, but you're certainly asking for a much smaller percentage of money. So explain to me a little bit of the gap that you're trying to fill, $1 million for Rogers to a larger populated area is going to go smaller amounts to different people. But I'm just interested in what your thoughts of the reaction are to tornado coverage is common in homeowners, obviously flood coverage isn't.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Westrom, I think Representative Hausman said flood coverage wasn't available. Is that what she said?
Yes. I'm sorry.
I thought that people could buy flood insurance. I may be wrong, but I thought that flood insurance was available. So I'm not aware of. I wasn't aware that wasn't an available insurance.
Mr. Chair and Representative Pepin, when I raised it in the conference committee, I was told by Senator Langseth that you can purchase insurance for tornadoes on private property, but not for flood. And I didn't determine that myself, but that would be.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Westrom, you know, I think for the Rogers tornado, you know, certainly tornadoes aren't as predictable as you know, some areas you kind of know where the floodplains are, you kind of know where the flooding is. I'm not sure where Browns Valley is in relation to other areas that frequently flood, but, you know, I don't think that tornadoes are particularly predictable. And the reason I'm asking for a smaller amount, I'm asking for half, even though the community is much larger, is because people were, for the most part, I think 90% of the people were insured, but the problem is that they're still paying a deductible. They're young families that are paying for, you know, paying for school and mortgage, and you know, some of them are in mortgages over their heads probably. And so the reason I'm asking for a smaller amount is because I think this will help them get back on their feet, help them pay for the deductible. They don't need, for the most part, we don't need to completely go in and assist people that aren't insured. So I think that this is a fair amount, a little bit smaller. I don't think that if people were allowed to apply for grants, I don't think the whole million would be used, because I think that for the most part it would be smaller amounts, it would be deductibles, and it would be incidentals to the situation. But I still think it would be only fair for it to be available for people to have that option to apply for grants if they so choose and they need it.
Thank you, Representative Peppin.
Representative Weston, maybe I could just comment. I used to be on what we used to call the Financial Institutions and Insurance Committee, and I don't know that I could state that flood insurance is impossible to get, but I can fairly state from those days when that kind of an issue would come up, it is extremely difficult if to purchase. It's pretty rare that people would be able to make that purchase. But Representative Westrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Marquardt, a couple questions. In your bill, and I was just reading through some of it again, but can you remind me, are we talking cash in your bill or general obligation bonds?
Mr. Chair and Representative Westrom, this would be in general fund appropriated for a grant, so this would not be bonding dollars.
Okay. And Mr. Chair,
well, at least this $2 million, and now the flood hazard mitigation grant stuff, those dollars could be bonded. I don't know how that works for sure, but the first $2 million would be grants from the general fund.
So as I understand it, Representative Marco, the reason we are looking at GO or a GM, no, GM, a GF, is the bonding wouldn't work for private property. Is that right, or could we use bonding dollars for that $2 million instead?
Mr. Chair and Representative Westrom, I don't know for sure. I know this is probably a quicker way to do it, and I'm seeing some, maybe House Research or Council could give you a better answer on that.
Representative Houseman, the chair, Captain has her hand up.
And Mr. Chair, I do now have both the spreadsheet and the language, and so flood relief for Browns Valley was general fund, and then it was mentioned in two parts of the bill. And one part was the $2 million for grants to the city of Browns Valley to be used to mitigate damage to public and private property caused by flooding. Grant money may be used to repair, buy, or replace private property damaged by flooding. Then, in another portion, it referenced the $25 million in the 2006 bill. And there, it simply added both Browns Valley and Roseau to a long list of cities, and there it specifically says, for the state share of flood hazard mitigation grants for publicly owned capital improvements. So there were really two distinctions in the bill.
So, Mr. Chair, Representative Houseman, could we use general obligation bonds for this $2 million?
Not for private property, Mr. Chair.
Not for private property. Okay. So, well, members, I think we ought to support the Peppin Amendment. I think, as she stated, it's $1 million, which is in proportion smaller. And Representative Marquardt, you know as well as I do, I know Browns Valley because before redistricting, that used to be a community I represented, and like you, I've door-knocked that community several times as well, and I know the need is good or great in that area, especially with the flood, and the number of houses that we're talking here, members, encompasses most of the town. The town is not that big, and another phenomenon in Browns Valley is I frequently ran into people that would live, they're right on the border, so people live on both sides of the border there, and just an FYI, while we're profiling Browns Valley members, when we talk about state staying competitive with neighboring states, Browns Valley is a classic example of places where people make the distinct decision in times where sometimes they do find themselves being drawn across the border with their either business or property because of tax benefits. And so I add that in just because Browns Valley is now on the radar of most legislators, and it is a community I represented. But Representative Marquardt, I find your words a little bit hollow about opposing this because it might slow this bill down. And the governor said he'd like a clean bill. Well, the governor has said for quite a while he would like a clean bill. And 3 and 4 weeks ago, you didn't seem to want to adhere to that request. Then didn't believe it, and now all of a sudden that's a newfound belief and a reason why Representative Pepin's amendment can't go on. We've had 4 weeks to deal with this, and now all of a sudden it's got to be a standalone clean bill, when for 4 weeks some of us have been saying it should be in the first place and not mixed up in politics. And it appears to me that that's what's going on right now as well. And so I think you should pick a better argument than something that all of a sudden is convenient today. But where were you and your caucus 4 weeks ago when some of us were telling you that same exact story and wanted to keep it clean?
Is anybody in the audience that is here for the bill by Representative Dill on the airport advisory? We just informed Representative Dill that we'll be adding that to the agenda later because of our time constraints this morning. I don't know if there's anybody here for that one or not. Representative Marquardt.
Mr. Chair and Representative Westrom, your comments are very unfortunate, because it's unfortunate you bring up politics in this, because when you bring up politics in dealing with people and disasters, it's very harmful. I have tried to keep politics out of this, but let me give you an example, and you can go back and look at the media. But a day after the flood, I was asked by several media sources what they thought of the governor going to Iowa and not being in Browns Valley. I said, I'm happy he's going to be there the next day. Politics should not be brought up in this situation. And unfortunately, in the last few days, there's been some real political meddling that I think has crossed the line and I think negatively impacts this moving forward to help the people of Browns Valley. Now, I can get into some details, Representative Westrom, on why a bill was not brought sooner. Myself and my office have talked with Browns Valley almost daily. We were working on a one-time funding that was much lower than what we had in the bonding bill. We were negotiating with the governor's office, and we'd have to trim this and that. It was significantly, significantly less than what wound up in the bonding bill. Senator Langseth said, let's see if we can try to do this, because this is what they really need, not the amount we were talking about and trying to negotiate with the governor prior to. It was a much lower figure than the $2 million, but it wouldn't have covered nearly the needs. So we said, okay, let's see what we can do in the bonding bill. In the meantime, the city of Browns Valley has received a D grant of $264,000. So they had received that. And in talking with the mayor and so forth from Browns Valley, we were going to go with this approach because they wanted everything covered if they could. And they've lost three families already, and there's a number of things. And I've got a list of costs and so forth. But we thought, let's wait a few more weeks, see if we can get a larger deal to meet all of their needs in the bonding bill. On April 17th, we introduced those bills, I think Senator Langseth and myself. And then, as I mentioned before, Representative Carlson had talked about giving a hearing on that. I said, no, let's wait. We're going to see what is in the bonding bill. That failed. Okay, we're here to step number two. So, Representative Westrum, we need to keep politics out of this. There's all sorts of steps, and there's all sorts of comments that could be made along the way. Disasters are very emotional things. They hit everyone in that town. And we need to keep it free. I think today, in what the intent of the governor, and we're all on base, we're all on the same page, we're all moving in the same direction on this, is for a standalone $2 million bill for Browns Valley to move it forward. Let's do that today. Let's help out Browns Valley and throw politics aside, please.
We have Representative Webster. Just very quickly, we have several people on the list, and the clock is running, and as we announced earlier, both caucuses have a 9:30 meeting, and I would like to deal with the bill today. So I think people are pretty well beginning to understand the argument. So if everybody who remains can be very brief, Representative Webster.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Marquardt, I'm not the one that's bringing up the politics argument. It was your response to Representative Pepin and the reason why we couldn't look at that this amendment that started creating that issue. There is no reason that this amendment would have to slow this bill down, and this bill could have been moved sooner for various reasons, some good, some not good. But that's, I'm just saying, the reason this amendment doesn't have to slow this bill down. In no way, no shape, no form. And so that was your argument that I'm responding to.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. I will be brief. Representative Pepin, 35W splits my district, and we have noise walls, and the community does appreciate those noise walls. So when you brought up the issue of noise walls, I was particularly attuned. In our case, MnDOT has built those noise walls and would repair them if something happened to them. Were your noise walls built by MnDOT?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, no, we didn't have a noise wall there. What we had was several feet wide worth of mature trees that acted as a noise barrier. But those trees were all destroyed in the tornado, so now you've got a whole group of low-income housing, well, to the extent that you have low-income housing in Rogers, but the lower-income homes that are on that strip that don't have any protection because that whole strip of trees was wiped out, and so therefore they're not on MnDOT's list of priorities. It wouldn't make the list for, you know, many, many years. The community talked about, you know, putting new trees in and whatnot, but as you know, it's pretty hard to replace a whole bunch of, you know, 8-foot-wide strip of mature trees to have the same effect. But this is also about grants. I don't want to just get into the noise abatement wall because, you know, this was, you know, for the last 7 months I've been telling my people that have been called me and wanting to get private grants, I've been telling them, no, the state doesn't give out private grants. So this is about, what am I supposed to tell my people now? That, oh, they don't give private grants out if you live in Rogers, but they do give private grants out if you live somewhere else. So this is you know, about more than just the abatement wall, although with a $1 million grant, we could use some for both.
You did bring up the subject of noise mitigation, and that's why I wanted to respond. I do think that is MnDOT's obligation. The neighbors didn't create the noise. The highway does. So I think it would be really worthwhile to visit with them.
Just for information, Representative Pepin, I do have House File 606 here before me. It's the one that you introduced, and it looks to me like the total request was for a noise wall.
Yep. Mr. Chair?
The amount that you had in this bill was $827,000 for a noise wall.
Right. And I'll address that.
Representative Pepin.
It's because the whole time, the whole process, when I've spoken with the governor's office and the city has been trying to find resources, it's because I've always been told that we have never given out private property grants. Had I known that was the direction we were going to go, of course, back in January, I didn't know there was going to be a similar disaster in Browns Valley, but I never, you know, when I told my people that we don't give out grants, I didn't intend to change the precedent that state had created, but if we're going to go down the route of changing how we handle disasters, I think it's only fair that we handle all future and current disasters the same way. We, by passing the Browns Valley bill, we are creating a new precedent by handing out private grants for private property. And so I just figured, you know, we didn't do that in the past. I wasn't gonna try to change that precedent. But if we're going to change the precedent, it may as well be changed throughout the whole state.
We have Representative Mariana.
Sure, I'll pass.
And we have Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, I find myself agreeing with my good friend, Representative Rucavina, as I've done so many times in the past, and will vote for the Pepin Amendment. But my question is for Representative Hausman. You anticipate having another bonding bill this session?
Well, I would not tell them what all those.
Mr. Chair, I don't think we have a clue.
Thank you.
We now have Representative Seifert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chairman, very quickly, I was talking with the governor's office back and forth here. They're okay with the amendment. In putting this on, we're obviously going to have to find the money from somewhere, which we will. They are okay putting the amendment on. I told Representative Marquardt, we just don't want it to turn into a Christmas tree of everything else. But we want to move it along quickly, and I don't want the meeting to drag on where we have to come back later and mess with this. So I would think we could find $1 million somewhere. And the issue with the general obligation bonds is you have to go through bond sales, and it's unconstitutional to use it for private purposes. So we can't go down the route of bonding folks. So I guess I would recommend we put the amendment on and work it out as we move through the process. I think we can still suspend the rules and find $1 million around here somewhere. But I think, Mr. Chairman, you were going to maybe check with the Speaker's office real quickly, but I don't want to hold the bill up any more than anyone else. As I said, we want to move it fast. I told Representative Marquardt yesterday that, you know, we'd suspend the rules for him, move things as fast as he needed to. In fact, we had a motion to suspend the rules, and I thought the non-political thing to do would go over to his side and talk to him about this. And we agreed together to move this through as quickly as we could through the traditional process. So I appreciate his help, and if we can get a quick agreement on it, I think we'll move it out quickly this morning.
For the information of the committee, we had very little remaining on the bottom line when the targets were set. We have this bill, and I worked with leadership to get the $2 million for the Marquardt bill that's before us. We do have bills up next week that have some cost factors to them, and if we were to address those, the well will be dry. So that's part of the issue here, and so we are checking with the Speaker. But there's not unlimited resources, let me put it that way, when we look at the total picture. And in the meantime, Representative Haymar has a question.
Well, I was just going to ask Representative Pepin if she would be willing to have to allow a friendly amendment that would allow the city of St. Paul to take, because of the straight line winds and tornadoes that happened in 2004 in my district, if my city could be included in that provision for your $1 million appropriation. The homes were damaged, and you know that was a very similar situation, not as bad as what happened in Rogers, but if you would accept that as a friendly amendment.
I got one for Dinah, though, because we had straight line winds and did the same thing.
That's the problem.
Got a couple of things down in my district.
Mr. Sherry, Representative Haymar, is that a serious question, or
yes,
you just joking with
me? No, I'm not joking.
Well, I mean, I guess my answer would be that's the issue that we have. We're creating a new precedent here by giving out, I mean, we're changing how we've done business in the past, and the governor's said that he wants to be consistent with past and future. Now, that wouldn't be up to me. That happened 3 years ago. These two are fairly recent, and you know, I don't know what the needs still are. I probably wouldn't accept it to this amendment, but I may support another amendment to do that. I mean, fair is fair. I don't know. That's a good question, how far we want to go back. But I probably wouldn't accept it to this exact same amendment. If you want to offer another amendment, I would, you know, I'd be happy to support that. How much are you looking for?
Reassess what the damage was.
But Representative Haymar makes a good point, and Representative Hausman pointed out that there was another issue. Representative Seifert pointed out that as long as it wasn't a Christmas tree, well, where do you stop? I mean, Representative Pepin, you just laid out the argument that Representative Marquardt was laying out relative to his bill, relative to your amendment. You just argued against another community's need.
That was several years ago.
Well, we've got others, and I mean, 04, 06. No, but you said in the future. I'm just pointing out you just said that you might support it in the future.
I support it on this amendment, but if you wanted to offer his own amendment, I'd be happy to support it.
Okay. Well, the point is you're offering an amendment to his bill. You're using the same arguments on your amendment that he was using on his bill. I'm just pointing that out, but Mr. Chair,
with all due respect, I had bills on this. The fact that my bills didn't get heard doesn't mean it's the same situation as Representative Haymar, who didn't have any bills on it. So I guess I somewhat resent the suggestion that I'm trying to piggyback on Browns Valley. I've been trying to work harder my own to get it, and this is unfortunately the vehicle that I have left.
Representative Pepin, your earlier bill was for a sound barrier.
Because I was told that we don't give out private grants. And we don't. We have.
Well, this amendment is quite a bit different than the sound barrier, but we're trying to work out some things, so let's try to remain somewhat consistent here in our arguments. We are at that point of 9:30. We're in recess. We'll call of the chair. I'd like to reconvene the Finance Committee, and I'll just remind members then that the initial motion that was before us was that House File 2433 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. After I made that motion, Representative Pepin put a motion before the committee with an amendment, and I assume with what I have before me, you're going to withdraw your original amendment?
I'll withdraw it for now, yep.
Okay, so the amendment from this morning is withdrawn. Representative Pepin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative of the Court. I've been working with Speaker Kelleher and Representative Carlson, and after the meeting this morning, and at first everyone seemed amenable to amending the Browns Valley bill to include $600,000 for a noise abatement wall, which is my initial bills that I had authored. I'd had a couple different bills. One was for a general fund. One was for funding through the transportation bill. And didn't get hearings on those. And then after this morning, had worked out a tentative agreement with the Speaker and the Governor's office, and folks seemed to be okay with that. The Senate apparently wasn't okay with the language. Go figure. But I still think it's really important that we look. My arguments haven't changed. I think we have to look to people throughout the state and treat them equally. I think we're sending a bad message if we're helping out one area of the state that has a natural disaster, but we're not helping out the other areas of the state that have natural disaster. Now, I know everybody wants to keep this bill clean and all that stuff, and that's fine, but I don't think we should let the swiftness of the process get in the way of doing what's good public policy, and I don't know that a day or two is going to make a difference, even if it has to go to conference committee. I mean, if I have to go back and tell my people that we couldn't get something done because we weren't willing as a legislature to take the time to look into the issue for another day, that doesn't sound very well. And some members, I won't go into a great speech. I gave you my arguments. You've seen the newspaper articles. You've seen the damage and destruction. I've already told you about, I think, about the girl that died in the tornado and about the 500 homes that were damaged. And, you know, the city did a great job of saving up, had a rainy day fund, was able to pay for the debris removal, was able to pay for the overtime hours. They did a great job of cleaning the city up. All they're asking for from the city perspective is a noise abatement wall to make up for the trees that were lost in the tornado. And so, members, I would urge your support for this amendment. And I, you know, if we could get this passed and send it over to the Senate, I see no reason why we couldn't have a conference committee and get it done quickly. This is an important thing. And members, I just want you to keep in mind that this could happen in any one of your districts. And if we're setting a precedent here where we're not being fair to all the communities involved, I just don't know if that's a route anybody wants to take when this happens in your neck of the woods, and to find out that you have to tell your people that your people aren't worthy of assistance, but somebody else's people are worthy. That's a sad thing to have to say. And anyways, I would just urge your support on the E2 amendment.
Okay, and I don't think technically you moved the amendment. You explained it. So Representative Pepin moves amendment H2433DE2. So the motion is before us. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much.
Reaction to the amendment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, Representative Pepin, I'm sympathetic to what you're saying here. But members, I would like to keep this a standalone bill for Browns Valley. You know, I know once we started talking today and then we had other cities and other situations added, and I think it's for the best to keep it a standalone. We need to do that. The governor had made special mention of that just the other day, of a standalone. I know Representative Seifert on the House floor yesterday talked about moving forward with Browns Valley. And so, members, I would ask that we keep this a standalone bill for Browns Valley.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment fails. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I do have an oral amendment I would like to.
Representative Marquardt, if you could explain the oral amendment.
What this would do, it's on page 1, line 10. I'll just take you through the wording and explain it. But on line 10, under the words, eliminate the words to mitigate and insert the words for relief from. And then on line 10, also delete the words to public, and on line 11, delete the words and private property. And then you would delete the last sentence, which starts on line 11, where it says grant money may be used. That would be deleted.
Okay, does everybody have that amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'll move that amendment.
Representative Junkie moves the amendment. Okay, we have it here. Any discussion on the Marquardt oral amendment? Representative Cole.
Mr. Chair, Representative Marquardt, could you just maybe read through that one more time? I think I have it, but I just want to make sure I understand what you're doing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Coles. It would read then, I'll read starting with line 10, safety for a grant to the City of Browns Valley to be used for relief from damage caused by the flooding of March 2007.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Junkie.
Just to confirm, and I think the reason we're doing this, and we talked, Representative Coles and others, I think the Marquardt language was problematic in future considerations also. This kind of mimics the other flood relief damage we've done, and really what happens is it goes to the city, and the city uses it as they see fit for the damage caused from the flood, so we're not talking about paying deductibles or talking about paying, you know, the whole thing, and this really mimics what we've done in past flood situations, and I think this is a good change to get us off the floor, too, later on.
Representative Paul.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Marquardt, thank you. You and I had a chance to chat briefly on the floor. I did talk with Representative Junkie and with Representative Seifert, and that's a concern that I've had. I think that's an appropriate change. I'm disappointed, quite honestly, that we are providing relief for one area of the state and not another. I think that's a mistake. I am going to support the bill, Representative Marquardt. I think that the people in Browns Valley need this and will appreciate it. I think it is the right thing to do. I happen to think that we need to look long and hard as a legislature about what we are going to do with natural disasters and natural disaster relief. I think it's absolutely a shame that we are denying Representative Pepin and her constituents the opportunity that we're providing to Representative Marquardt's constituents. I can promise you not one of them asked for the tornado to knock their house down. Not one of the people in Browns Valley asked to have their house squatted out. The city didn't ask for the damage caused there. The city of Rogers didn't ask for all those trees to get knocked down. The situations are not identical, but they're incredibly similar, and I think it's absolutely disappointing and unfortunate that we are not providing that relief to some residents of the state. We are providing it, and rightfully so, to the people of Browns Valley. I support that, Representative Marquardt. I appreciate your amendment. I'm going to support your amendment. I'm going to support the bill. But I hope that as this moves forward, we are not picking and choosing winners and losers based on what part of the state you're in, what kind of situation you may have. We need to look long and hard at what we're going to do. I guess I'm concerned about the continued kind of piecemeal approach. I know that we did some work for some tornado assistance for Granite Falls back in 2001. I don't recall us doing anything for Comfrey, Representative Finstead. Maybe we did, we got to take a look at how we're going to do this because this isn't the right way to do it. The people of Browns Valley should have this relief. They're going to need it. They're going to appreciate it. But we shouldn't be doing this piecemeal. I think that's a problem, and I think it's just a shame that Representative Pepin's constituents aren't getting the same help that yours are.
Okay, it's known that your comments are both to the amendment before us as well as the bill generally. So if we could focus on the amendment, and then we'll have another amendment that our fiscal staff recommended if needed, and then we'll have the bill. So on the Marquardt Amendment, any further discussion? Junkie Amendment, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Westbrook.
Representative Marquardt, just so I understand what I think Representative Coles primarily covered, essentially this amendment, your intention is to kind of just a block grant to the city and the state doesn't get into little requests for here and there, and generally speaking, the city will try to deal with the other expenses on individual matters and private homeowners and expenses like that. Is that kind of how it'll be operated?
Mr. Chair and Representative Westrom, that's the intent, and I'm going to have in just a sec Ms. Novak if she can respond, but this is very similar to what was done in Granite Falls, and that's part of the change here. And the reason, again, is one of the main reasons for this, that when we're looking at the private portion of it, is, since this did not reach a threshold of $5 million, which would have FEMA stepping in, this would do a lot of things that FEMA would do. And, for example, FEMA, if they were involved, this is some of the things they do. Money is available to homeowners to repair damage from the disaster to the primary residence that is not covered by insurance. Money is available to homeowners to replace their home destroyed in a disaster that is not covered by insurance. Direct assistance or money for the construction of a home. Other things like windows, and septic and sewer system, even crisis counseling, legal services, all those things that FEMA normally would cover. And again, what makes this unique, and believe me, every disaster is unique. There's no doubt about that. But this is a community with a very large percent of senior citizens and very limited means to provide resources. And I mean, it's just, as I read the statistics earlier, as far as the tax base and the city tax rate and that, if there was ever a community who deserved some special notice here, it would be Browns Valley. But the main reason is to pick up things that FEMA would normally do. And I guess, Mr. Chair, if I could call on Ms. Novak just to talk a little bit on this, would that be okay?
Ms. Novak, did you want to... I think what he's asking is for an explanation of the amendment, if you're prepared to do that, or an expansion of his explanation.
Mr. Chairman and members, the amendment is consistent with the direct relief that was given to the city of Granite Falls for the, in 2001 for a tornado that I believe occurred in 2000. It also provided relief, the city to provide relief for a variety of property types and purposes. So this seems to be consistent with that type of relief.
Okay, any, Representative Westrom, does that answer your question? Okay, Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let's follow up with Ms. Novak. So I just want to be clear when I vote on this amendment. So the language, would that mean it would prevent private property from the city, or it would not prevent this to be used for private funds? In other words, does this amendment really change the nature of the bill, or is it pretty much the same, just taking the word out?
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair and Representative Heffin, I believe the amendment makes it clear that it's at the discretion of the city, the type of property that is assisted or the use for which the grant is given.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment by Representative Junkie? All those in favor then signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We have another amendment here that I'm told by our fiscal staff is necessary. It's I'll call on Mr. Marks to explain the amendment and what it does.
Mr. Chair, members, it may not be necessary, but it's probably a good idea just to put this in. Because this is an appropriation being made in 2007, it would cancel on June 30th if it's not distributed at that point. It very well may be distributed by June 30th, but I would suggest to be safe adding on page 1 after the period in line 12, this appropriation is available until June 30th, 2009. That'll carry it forward into the next biennium as well.
Okay. Okay. Representative West removes the amendment. Any discussion? Representative Mahoney?
Mr. Chair, I think you want to add it on line 11 rather than line 12, because we've deleted line 12.
Thank you.
After Mr. Marks said that the reviser will. So we rely on Mr. Marks. Any further discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The chair then renews the motion whereby House File 2, 2433. Just let me finish restating the motion then. Be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Ways and Means Committee. Any further discussion, Representative?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move my A2 amendment.
That's the one from this morning?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And I would like to amend it in the same way. Perhaps Ms. Novak could help me so it mimics the language that was just passed in the oral amendment from Representative Markward.
Okay, I think the first thing we need for you to do then is to move the amendment.
Yeah, I did.
And then the second thing is to just incorporate that language into the amendment. Is that what you were going to do?
Yes.
Okay, does everybody understand what is before us? If you still have your papers from this morning, it's this morning's amendment. Okay, so moved by Representative Pepin. Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Pepin?
Yeah, I'd like to, I hate to be the dead horse, but as you can see, the language is exactly parallel. And I just don't know how any of you could say that it's okay to give grants to the city in one part of the state, and it's not. I'm not, Bronze Valley's looking for $2 million. I'm looking for $1 million. My community is much bigger. I had 500 homes that had damage, and I just don't know how any of you could not support an amendment that would also provide grants for people in my district. I just don't understand. Think of you. This is a neighbor two doors down that lost their house. I want you all to think about how you would feel if your Minneapolis or St. Paul neighborhood had a tornado, and you were told that another colleague was going to be able to secure funding for his people, but you had to go home and tell your people there's no grant money. So, members, I won't beat a dead horse, but all I'll point out is that I'm only looking for $1 million for grants. I don't think that whole amount would be used, frankly, because I think that it's been 7 months. I think a lot of people are back on their feet, but I would like to make it available to them. It might only be 200 or 300 grand, but that money would go back to the general fund then, and that'd be fine, but I just think that if we're going to help out one part of the state, it is only fair and right that we make the same opportunity available to whether it be Rogers or War Road or wherever in the state has a disaster. And I'm going to ask for your vote again, and I guess I'll ask for it again on the floor tomorrow if this fails. But I just ask you to think about it, because the disaster might happen in your community this summer. Who knows? It might happen on September 16th when mine happened in my community and to my neighborhood. So, members, I would ask for your support.
Any further discussion on the amendment, Representative Gunn?
I'm kind of confused because the amendment that we didn't accept before had to deal with the design, construction, erection of a noise barrier because trees came down. How does this... if that was the need, then how does this amendment deal with that?
Well, thank you for asking that, Mr. Chair and Representative Kahn. Well, this is $1 million that would allow for private and public property damage, and it will also allow for private grants. I talked about earlier this morning how I've been getting emails from my constituents for months asking for private grant money, and I've been told time and again that we don't give out money for private grants. But all of a sudden, the rules have changed, and so... I'll beat my head against the wall again, I guess, but all I'm saying is that why would we want to have a state where one part of the state has different rules and different treatment for disasters than another part of the state? It's just simply a fairness question, and I don't understand how anybody would want to have different ways of treating disasters throughout the state.
Representative
Kahn. Mr. Chairman, the reason I raised the question, and I know we had a conversation on the floor of the House where I possibly can tell, when I see this one, I had a real problem because I have a sound barrier in my area, which people have been asking for since the first barriers were erected. We used to have language in the transportation bill that required a certain percentage of the transportation bill to be used for sound barriers each year. And when that was taken out, I actually expected that this sound barrier, which was next in line, was going to be constructed. It had gone too far, and it wasn't. And, the problem is that the Department of Transportation has a priority list. And I've had real problems because my sound barrier isn't on the priority list. What I would like to do is I'd like to work with you about getting, I understand thoroughly, because I've heard a lot of it from my constituents, about the quality of life being enhanced by sound barriers, and I would really like to work with you on the basic issue of getting more money into sound barriers and doing it. Other problem with this language, you know, and I got to assume that the other one kind of includes planning for this, if this was your first priority, is that trees don't cut sound. They visually kind of do it, and you think that they do, but there isn't any effect. The sound barrier doesn't, it's a visual effect. People might think they do, but scientifically it has no effect of putting a decibel meter behind it. But I would like to work with you on the issue of sound barriers. I think it's been ignored in the state, because since we first put it in.
Mr. Chair and Representative Crown, I appreciate you wanting to work with me on that. And, you know, I've had a couple different amendments here. The reason I didn't go after the grant money to start with is because I was told that we really don't do things that way. But we did still have a need in the community. And the reason I changed the language to $1 million in grants is because I thought it only seemed fair that we should allow the city to use the money as they see fit, including grants. So, you know, I'm willing to be flexible on these projects. I think there are a lot of good uses for recovery damage. But I just wanted to be clear that the reason that I moved this to the noise abatement wall is because that's the agreement that Speaker Kelleher had told me that she thought she could work with.
Representative Pinstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Marquardt, I know you opposed the previous amendment by Representative Pepin, and you stated that it was to keep the Browns Valley Bill clean, you know, clean, so to speak. Tell me, from your perspective, why a disaster relief bill, why wouldn't we include natural disasters that have happened in different parts of the state? I mean, I know Browns Valley has been through some tough, terrible times, but the same exact thing can be said for Rogers. And so tell me, maybe I'm young and naive here, but Minister sure reeks of politics. Could you just please tell me why we wouldn't be able to include these two provisions in this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Benstead. First of all, disasters are disasters are disasters, and I'm not going to distinguish the difference between disasters. These provisions that are in 2433 were in the bonding bill. And that's the avenue we went through there. It was a bill that was in there. And that was vetoed, of course. So we're moving to step number two. And the governor specifically stated at the time of the veto that he urged lawmakers to move ahead with a standalone bill on Browns Valley. Senator Langseth and I were working on Plan B, which is to go through this process and work with the governor on this. And that's where we're at. But there certainly are no distinctions between disasters. And the state, time and time again, has always come to the need of communities. So it was in the process. It was in the bonding bill.
Representative Benstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In using the direct words of my good friend, Representative Sertich, I don't think we're here to be a rubber stamp for the governor. You know, we've heard that quite a few times, and like you said, a disaster is a disaster is a disaster. And for us, I mean, simply, if we turn this amendment down, what we're saying is that good news for those citizens in Minnesota that happen to suffer a natural disaster and be represented by a Democrat, because they'll be taken care of. If you have the unfortunate to be represented, now that could be used against me, have the unfortunate to be represented by a Republican and a natural disaster happens, good luck finding money. Hope you do well. Hope you do well. So I just think this is a very disappointing day in the legislature that we cannot take a look at a disaster as a disaster as a disaster and fund the needs and the tragedies that have happened. This is not, this doesn't need to be politics, but unfortunately it is, and I'm very disappointed.
Representative Sertich?
Mr. Chair, I'm convinced that politics is what happens around here when members of the legislature call into Representative Marquardt's district and blame the legislative body and Democrats for them not getting their money yet. Representative Marquardt is above that, but I guess I'm not going to be today because you're the one that's interjecting politics into this right now. Disasters are disasters. But when stuff like that happens, that's when you politicize a disaster. I'm trying to get a bill done today to get to Browns Valley. Let's get it done.
Representative Wigman.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Representative Marquardt, I'm going to vote for you again, whether the amendment is added or not.
It is absolutely wrong not to have the PEP amendment bill represent my party. You know that, and you know it in your heart. I just have a reason I'm late. I'm sorry I wasn't here, Joyce, to vote for your First Amendment. I was a little late. I was speaking with a reporter. By the way, a colleague of yours, Don Davis, I see one reporter here, a young man, nice guy by the name of Mike. And I told him when I leave that I got to go vote for this bill that's in the Finance Committee because we're going to take care of the disaster in Rogers and in Browns Valley. And I walk in and I find out that the amendment was defeated. I cannot believe it. Now, Representative Finn said it is about location, location, location. We hear that from realtors occasionally. But I think it's very, very much true to politics that's being played. Representative Marquardt, there would be some of us who, this morning you gave a very nice little speech in response to Mr. Seifert about Mr. Seifert mentioning the word politics. There might be some who of us who felt that this thing could have passed a month ago if you wouldn't have clarified politics to put it into the bonding bill as to just letting it go separately. Now, we can rationalize any position we want, members. You can have the right words, you can have the passion, but it is absolutely wrong to not look at the disaster and the problems of the citizens in Rogers in the same way as we do in Round Valley. It's exactly the same issue. You cannot divide the issue at all and be fair and straight to anyone.
You represent leader?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, I've been involved in handling a lot of disasters, both with FEMA and all works. One thing, when you get a disaster declaration, and I would ask Representative Marquardt a question. Presumably, somebody comes in, engineers or somebody make an estimate, and I presume that's happened here. I don't presume that's happened when I see Representative Pepin's thing. I don't deny that Rogers should be involved. I disaster is a disaster, like we say, but I doubt if anybody put this, this is just an arbitrary number, and I think if we're going to do that, someone should have made even a windshield estimate, other than sitting in here and coming up with a number, because I doubt if any civil defense or any engineers came up with this amount, where I'm sure they did in Browns Valley situation.
Representative Pepin, and then we'll vote on the amendment. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Leader. I have numbers. Which would you like? Would you like the number of the amount of damages in the city, or would you like the amount of the estimate from MnDOT for the noise abatement wall?
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pepin, I don't need either of those. I've been involved with these, and it depends on who paid for what and if there was insurance or how it was involved. But I think right now you have not a situation. You can come. I can come up. I have right now in my district, I've got a lot of little communities that are not having anything here, and I'm sure that's statewide. The point I'm making, if you have at least your civil defense or someone involved, rather than me as an individual come and saying I got this much in my district, I could do that right now too. And I could produce some numbers on monies that were spent, and I'm not denying that Rogers shouldn't have it. The point I'm making, I'm questioning whether it should be $1 million, maybe it should be $2 million, or maybe it should be $400,000. That's the question I'm raising.
Okay, if
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, how did Representative Marquardt come up with the $2 million? What was that number based upon? Because I know that there was about $28 million in private damage in Rogers.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin, first of all, just on immediate costs, it's about $250,000. These are just costs just on debris removal, landfill and dumpster costs, equipment expenses. If you were to calculate the 26 homes to repair, even at $50,000, which I don't know if you can do that today, you're looking at $1.3 million. There are also roads and streets that are going to need, they've already filled potholes, but that's a cost in here already. But they will need to do that as long as any time you have your sewer and water system, when it gets covered up with water, you have manholes that have eroded and been structurally made unsound. You have infiltration of the system, and those costs could literally be hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not into the millions. So this $2 million will not even come close to what could be the potential repairs in Brownstown.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Pepin.
I think Representative Leader's point was the engineering study, the dollar amount, and you didn't, I didn't hear you say what that engineering study showed the amount to be. And the only reason I make that point is it's no different than my situation, once again.
Okay, all those in favor of the amendment H243382 with the language that, so everybody's clear on that, that Representative Pepin had incorporated into it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion defeated.
Division.
Division has been requested. Okay, all those in favor of the amendment, if you raise your hand. All those opposed. Okay, being 13 ayes and 23 noes, the amendment is defeated. We now have the bill before us, so the chair renews his motion that House File 2433 be recommended pass as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor of the motion, please. What do we have? Oh, Representative Garfiano. Garofalo, Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me, I'll get it before the session's over. I was doing pretty well for several weeks.
Mr. Chairman, it's a new pronunciation every day. It's fantastic. Mr. Chairman, members, just two quick comments. Number one, I want to thank Representative Pepin for her grace in this situation, because Representative Pepin, I will tell you that if this would have happened in Farmington or Meesville or the districts I represent, I would like to think that I would behave the way you have in the last 24 hours. And I can tell you, I've got some Italian blood in me. I just don't think that would have happened. And I want to thank you for that. The speech I want to give, but I won't give today, is I remember my friend, a member of the other side of the aisle, got into it with Representative Abrams, and he pounded on the table, and he looked across, and he said, "I must be the stupidest man in the legislature." He said, "I must be the dumbest guy here." And he went into an explanation of explaining how why things had happened a certain way. And that's the speech I want to give today. I'm not going to give it. But when I look at this, I just pray to God that a tornado never hits my district and that nothing happens to the people in my area that think that this would happen. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to vote for this bill today because the people of Browns Valley deserve it. But I really hope I don't see this happen again. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't going to respond to Representative Swinga, but I think I will make a comment now after Representative Garofalo added on to that as well. And I just resent greatly being charged with being partisan about disasters. I have voted for every disaster bill that's come forward here. I don't even check to see if it's a Republican or a Democrat. When I listened to Representative Pepin this morning, I considered supporting her, and I even discussed it with Representative Seifert in the elevator. And then I looked into this a little more, Representative Pepin, and if you had a true disaster that you wanted to present as a disaster, as Representative Marquardt is doing sincerely, then I think you would have come forward, you know, asking for a special session or coming forward immediately in January and asking for some help for the things that are going on there. But I understand instead you introduced a bill asking for a sound barrier that went to the Transportation Committee. That doesn't sound like a disaster to me. And I don't know what kind of advice you were given, but if you came forward with a disaster, the minute the disaster came, instead of being political yourself by piling on to the disaster that we have right here in front of us and then doing this sort of thing.
This is a disaster.
Representative Pepin, I think I have the floor. You know, I'm talking not what was in the paper, but what was done here at the legislature. I never heard a word about Rogers until Representative Marquardt came forward with his bill. And then you're now trying to get your noise barrier by doing a political thing. And I am not going to be accused of not voting for every disaster, you know, whether it's a Republican disaster or a Democratic one. And that I just cannot not say that.
Not sure which hand went up first, but we'll recognize Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Garland. I think Representative Garofalo's compliments were premature. I just want to clarify that I have been in direct contact with the governor's office several times on this issue. I have introduced bills, two different bills on this. Representative Garland explained this several times. I did not receive a hearing for either of the bills I've introduced. And as far as I can tell, the only reason that this isn't getting attention is because the tornado happened in September and not March. I think it's very unfair to say that I haven't been working on this. I've got a file this thick. If anybody would like to see, here, take that back, this thick. If anybody would like to see whether I think this is a disaster or not.
Okay,
that's all I'm going to say. I can't believe this.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Marquardt, I apologize. I lied to you earlier. I said I was going to support your bill, but that speech by Representative Greiling was the most disgusting thing I've heard in the 4 years I've been here. I'm not voting for your bill now because she has turned this into politics. I apologize to you. I apologize to the people of Browns Valley. This is obnoxious. Representative Marquardt, your people do need the help. But this, I think I was being incredibly sincere 10 minutes ago when I gave my speech, but this, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's gone overboard, and I can't support it anymore. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to recognize Representative Westrum, and then I think we pretty well exhausted the issues before us and perhaps even the discussion between people. So, Representative Westrum, if you want to make a concluding comment.
Mr. Chair, thank you for that, and I wasn't going to re-engage in this debate. I think to anybody in the audience, it's pretty obvious and clear what's going on here. As I said this morning, there was sense of politics a month ago when this was suggested not to be in the bonding bill, that many people, when it passed the floor, said this is certainly ripe for a veto, so why would you hold up the people of Browns Valley? But Representative Marquardt and whoever advised you suggested that's the way it's going to go. So those are the facts that people need to know. Now, Representative Greiling, you want to sit and clean your hands of everything. This isn't politics. Well, if it isn't, Representative Greiling, it sure smells like it. But I'm just reminded of a quote that I've learned from my math teacher in high school. And you would often repeat it. If the shoe fits. Well, Representative Greiling, this disaster in this committee, if the shoe fits, wear it. And I think the shoe fits.
That was actually my social studies teacher, but with
it was my algebra teacher.
I think we're going to bring it to a vote. I think we know what the issues are, and the chair renews his motion that House File Number 2433 be recommended to pass as amended and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Representative Marquardt?
Just, Mr. Chair and members, on behalf of the residents of Browns Valley, a huge and sincere thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, with that, I'm in your turn.